I have a thought about what I'm going to be reading today, and it's Acts 2, 1 through 21. And while I was listening to Dave Gaunt talk about the After 26 Project and how many times I've been in that setting and listened to the sounds around us, the sounds that bounce off the walls and bounce off the windows, and the joy and the friendship and the happiness that's taking place. But you're hearing all these conversations, and yet you're still hearing the same loving, kind, gracious people who think this is an important part of our community. Please listen. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So ends the reading.
In the story from the Acts of the Apostles that Sue just read, it must have felt like creation all over again. Fire and wind and something new breaking forth. And then there was this amazing linguistic experience of people speaking in other languages yet being understood. Understood by people who spoke many different languages from many different places, all the known places of the earth at that point. In that moment, all the people were one in their hearing, if not in their understanding of the deeper meaning of what they had heard. Despite their differences, they could all hear what the disciples were saying in their own languages. Fire, wind, and these humble Galileans speaking persuasively in many tongues were dramatic signs that God was doing something new. That God was doing something new. And I expect it was a little frightening to a number of folk. Something that they wished they could explain away. And for others, all they had was cynical comments and blamed it on drunkenness. But for most, it was amazing that God was doing something new. This passage from Acts is particularly powerful for a church that proclaims God is still speaking. We say that on our bulletin cover. We say it on the rainbow banner above the front entrance, that God is still speaking. Commentators agree in pointing out that the text in Joel that Peter quotes, that Joel was speaking ominously of destruction and death. While Peter takes that text and speaks of the promise of new life. In Peter's interpretation, Scripture speaks in a new day about new realities and new challenges. Right in the middle of Pentecost, of this amazing day, undoubtedly confusing to people, Peter takes that Joel text and interprets these events. He relies on Scripture to help him understand that God is doing something new in their midst. And that's what we're called to be about too. To hear and interpret Scripture in new ways and to see how God is still speaking to us. I was going to read a long text from a friend of mine, Mark Sariano. We'll miss that one. And we'll move to how Marcus Borg, you've heard me refer to Borg a lot. Marcus describes Pentecost as upending the Tower of Babel story in Genesis. And he said, it reminds us that different languages of humankind have the power to divide people, to keep people from one another and not understanding people. In the ancient world, I understand that there was this kind of utopian ideal of one universal language. And the story from Acts provides an intriguing take on that hope, that dream. For here in the Pentecost story, the Spirit of God has rushed in to empower many different kinds of people to do something outstanding. They are communicating with one another, and they're communicating effectively. Bridges were built and crossed in a moment. Beyond the differences of nationality and language, there was a fundamental unity that was experienced. by most who were there. Others scoffed. Others were cynical. But those with hearts and minds that were open in the movement of the Spirit knew that a new day had come. A new day had come. There are different languages in our congregation. Different languages figuratively. I mean, we do have Miguel in Spanish, and Kelsey may know some Korean. But different language is figuratively that may divide us, or at least make unity more difficult to achieve. But differences can also enrich and enliven what we share. If we reach beyond that which separates us, those different languages that may come from differences in religious upbringing or educational background or economic class or theological or Christological understandings that we have, or even basic personality types. So we've got these multitude of languages within our congregation. But we can learn to communicate effectively, to hear what the still speaking God is saying to us, if we are open to the Spirit. And if we listen, we may hear a call. We may hear a call together that will astound us and gather us into something more effective and more amazing than we ever were before and that we could ever even dream about becoming. It's sort of like a dream in 2007 that David was sharing. But we need to be open to that still speaking God that we proclaim, and have and allow those linguistic differences to be overcome. I am going to quote from my friend Mark Zariano in closing. I've known Mark for over 20 years, first when he was on national staff, and now he's a local church pastor. And let me close with his blessings and his charge for Pentecost. He wrote, "On Pentecost, may you find your heart singing with the Spirit of God, your heart, your ears humming with the voice of the Spirit, speaking in a language that reaches deep into your soul, and wisdom dawning on your mind, so that the shackles that have hardened around your mind may be broken and God's voice and language set free. May your communities and churches experience the coming of God's Spirit. Anticipate with joy and hope, and give into it with love, so that when the day is done, all the world may know the love of God because of you. May it be so with us. Amen.